Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to the house of God here today? Yes. Well, praise God. It's just so good to see everyone here. We're just so honored that you'd make Family Church a part of your week. And I'll tell you what, the presence of the Lord is here to help you. God's Word is here to help you. Amen. His Spirit is here to help you. Praise God. We just welcome those that are visiting. You're just such a blessing to have you here. We love you. We appreciate you. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church, we invite you to camp out with us here for a little while. Not just today, but all the time. You know, we admit that we're not going to try to entertain you. We're not going to, you know, try to just woo you with, you know, special, little incentives or benefits or giveaways or anything like that, but we are going to teach you the life-changing power of God's Word. Amen. If you're hungry for God, you're in the right place. If you want it right out of the Bible, you're in the right place. Amen. If you just want motivational speeches and entertainment, you might not be in the right place. Praise the Lord. But it's just so good to see you. We know that God has a plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God's got a great plan for your life. And here, our job is to just report on that plan, which is right out of His Word. Amen. Right out of the Bible. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here at Family Church, and we just welcome you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're just so glad. Of course, church, whose job is it? To make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome. That's all of our jobs, right? Amen. You have a ministry. All right, it's not to just find everyone you know and that you feel the most comfortable with. Go find the new people. Go connect with them. Amen. Get to know them. Invite them out for coffee. Amen. Testify of what the Lord has done for you in your life through the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If the Lord would have you here at Family Church, we'd be honored. Glory to God. But I tell you what, His presence is really strong in this place. So we want to jump right into the Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Of course, I knew that I'd be ministering on healing. And for the third straight week in a row, as we are praising and worshiping, I'll tell you what, when you say and sing the name of Jesus, it changes everything around you. Everything around you. I'll tell you what, if there is the only name that can charge the atmosphere like this, that can make God's presence tangible in your midst, is the name of Jesus. There is no natural means that can replicate what we have going on in here this morning, because when we gather two or three in that name, we know that He's in the midst. When you sing, when you declare, when you worship in that name, He visits, He shows up. I'll tell you what, He's looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards them. Praise the Lord. And so for the third straight week, of course, I have my notes. I have them right here. Sat down this week. I got an outline. You know, I actually preached it last night in Erie, which, by the way, we had 10 new people in Erie last night, by the way. We're having about 5 or 6 new people at least every week there. And so just so you get a little bit of an update, I mean, we already have somewhere between about 40 to 50 regular attenders there already. And we've only been in our building for 5 months. And so just so you know that you sowed into that, it's reaping benefits for the kingdom of God. Glory to God. But, you know, I preached, you know, what I had prepared last night. But we got here, we started singing in that name. And all of a sudden, things start to change. And the Spirit of God, hallelujah, is in this place so strong. Hallelujah. Go with me. I said to Mark chapter 16, and let's look at the Great Commission, shall we? And of course, you know, we're going to be preaching on healing. And how many of you know healing is a very important component of the gospel? It is. You could say it this way. I think Brother Hagin, you know, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, he said this. I think maybe he was quoting Smith Wigglesworth. Some great minister said this, and I'm just going to say it myself, that healing is the dinner bell for the gospel. I mean, healing is the dinner bell for the gospel. We know this, that right here in America, our society is crying out for what? Healthcare. always looking for the next fix in our healthcare system. Well, I tell you what, the fix for our healthcare system has been sitting on the shelf the whole time, all right? Obamacare isn't going to get it done. Trump care isn't going to get it done. Not nearly as well as this has already gotten it done. Hallelujah. God has already provided health care. He has given us a covenant with Him. Amen. He's given us a covenant of health and healing. Praise the Lord. And we need to understand that this gospel that we've been given to share with the world, it's not just a preaching and teaching gospel only. It's a preaching and teaching gospel first, but it's not a preaching and teaching gospel only. There are manifestations of God's power, that He wants to distinguish Himself in this earth with His power, amen, with His ability to heal, amen, with His ability to provide. I'll tell you what, you will never know life as good as it gets until you get on God's economy and you get on God's healthcare plan. Praise the Lord. What voters are always voting for, they'll flip-flop between the parties. They'll run to and fro from, they'll try, you know, an extremely liberal politician. They'll try an extremely conservative politician. They'll try somebody in the middle. They will just run back and forth to the ones they think that are going to provide the best economy and the best health care. All right? And the whole time, that one that has both is Jesus. Amen. And that name is so powerful that it causes those that are saved to rejoice. It causes the sinner to get quiet and nervous. You know, I was having a conversation with one of our Erie folks last night, and he's big into riding motorcycles and motorcycle clubs, and he's a fantastic witness. Everywhere he goes, he's telling people about Jesus. And he notices that a lot of people are okay with talking about God. Like, oh yeah, you know, like, as if God is like some benevolent grandfather, you know, and like, oh yeah, God blesses me, God is good. And then, but he says, as soon as I say, well, yeah, you know, Jesus is good. As soon as he mentions Jesus, all of a sudden the atmosphere changes. All of a sudden there's conviction. All of a sudden there's quiet. One way or the other, that name will be reverenced. Whether it's feared or rejoiced at, it brings reverence on the scene. Amen. The name of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about healing, but also we're going to minister along the line of the power of the name of Jesus here. Healing and the name of Jesus. And of course, we're going a different direction. This is Spirit-led again. These are verses that, of course, I'm very familiar with, that I've meditated on in the past, so I'm prepared in that way. However, this is not a message that I sat down and pre-planned, because it all of a sudden it started to change right there. Mark chapter 16, let's start in verse 15. Jesus speaking, Mark 16, 15. Here's what the gospel is. And if you're preaching any other gospel than what we're about to read Jesus' words, it's no gospel at all. The seeker-sensitive gospel that's sweeping our country is a false gospel. It's the entertainment gospel. It's a social gospel. It is a cultural gospel. All right? It is a Hallmark gospel. All right? It is just friendly. It is just easygoing. It is just casual. It is just, honestly, it's nonsense and it's not true. When I say that, I'm not trying to attack anybody. And by no means am I saying, oh, this church has the corner on the truth. No, no, no. This is available to everybody. This is available to the Baptist, to the Methodist, to the Pentecostals. It's available to the Family Church, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Catholic Church. It's available to anybody. But we have to make a decision here as a church that we don't change the Bible changes us. We're going to dig in and bring up several scriptures. We're going to get Jesus' words on it. Amen. And we're going to stick to it. And we're not going to compromise or move away from that. Amen. Because this is what Jesus intended the gospel to be. Verse 15, it says, Jesus said to his disciples. Now, you could say this way, Jesus said to his believers. So he's not just talking to 12 people or 11 people here. He's talking to all of us. Yes, he is. This is the believer's gospel. Are you ready? Yes. Do we have any believers here? Yes. Yeah, this is a church, you know, praise the Lord, we're believers. We are not followers of Family Church. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about? We're not followers of the pastor of this church. And this, you know what I mean? That's not our goal. Our goal is to follow Jesus' gospel. Amen. He said to his believers, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, do we have any creatures here today? That's the old school, the King James. That word creature is the word creation. Go preach, modern translations say, go preach the gospel to every living creature, every living being. Amen. That word preach doesn't mean you have to have a pulpit in front of you. It doesn't mean you earn a paycheck from a ministry. It means that you are willing to proclaim, that you're willing to tell people the good news of Jesus. All right, listen, it's good news whether they want to hear it or not. And that doesn't mean, you know, you get brash and, you know, just a turn and burn kind of witnessing style. Listen, you better love people. You better be good to them. They better just sense an overwhelming kindness about you when you witness. All right, but you are bold and willing to witness for the Lord. It says this, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It is just that clear. There is no middle ground with Jesus. He did not leave any wiggle room in there, you know, to say, well, I kind of believe. I believe on Sunday, but I don't know about Monday through Saturday. That's where a lot of Christians are doing today, and that's not right. Yeah, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned, or the word damned there means condemned. All right. Now, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Do we have any them that believe here today? All right. So this isn't, Jesus didn't say these signs will just follow me. He said these signs will follow them that believe in me. Right. Okay. Didn't say these signs will just follow the apostles. He didn't just say they will follow the prophets. He said these signs will follow them that believe. All right. That here, notice that believing produces signs.
That's good.
You know what I mean? It's just real, real simple. You know, when you believe upon that name, it's going to change the natural world around you. And here's are the things that when you believe, things will change around you. He said, notice what he said. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So in the name of Jesus produces what? Signs. What does that word signs mean? It means tokens of God's power. All right. Or evidence of God's power. Praise the Lord. Literally, we could say it this way. The Bible also says many times in the New Testament, miracles, signs, and wonders. All right. Notice the name of Jesus. What does it produce? Signs. You could say, what does the name of Jesus produce? Miracles. What does the name of Jesus produce? Wonders. Yeah. You wonder how you're going to get that new job. I'll tell you how you're going to get it. You know what I mean? You wonder where, you know, your next house payment is going to come from. You wonder how your marriage is going to be restored. You wonder what's going to happen. Well, in the name of Jesus, takes all the questioning out of life. You know what I mean? Amen. All right. He said, these signs are going to follow them that believe in my name. So obviously believers have to know something about the name of Jesus. They have to know to use it. If you are a believer that does not actively use the name of Jesus, that's why you don't have signs actively following you. Listen, in the name of Jesus is how you prevent and remove sickness off the body of yourself and your children. Amen. In the name of Jesus is how every need is going to be met. Every debt is going to be paid in the name of Jesus. Every day I say 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You know, I also use my own address. I'll use my own address and I'll say it is paid in full in Jesus' name. I'll say 6075 Peach Street is paid in full in Jesus' name. Yes, that name causes everything to bow. He says, in my name shall they, believers, cast out devils. Wow. You know, a lot of modern Christians, they say, well, what is that? The word devils is where we get our word for demon. All right. Notice the first thing Jesus said, in my name, you're going to cast out devils. You're going to cast out demons. Well, obviously, if that's part of the gospel, it hasn't gone anywhere. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, Well, all your, you know, your trendy lights and your smoke machines aren't going to cast the demons out. You make your church look more like a nightclub than it does a church. Demons aren't going to run from that place. They're going to feel comfortable there. That's absolutely right. Amen. Woo, here we go. Wow, aren't you glad you came? I'll tell you what, the folks that are traveling on vacation, they picked the wrong week to miss, right? I'm kidding. In my name, well, not really. I'm kidding, kind of. But it's a good thing that families are taking vacations together. Amen. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Notice right off the beginning that this gospel is a supernatural gospel. It's a supernatural gospel. It's a demon-casting out gospel. It's a tongue-talking gospel. Ooh, that makes someone uncomfortable. Well, that's not what my denomination believed growing up. That's not what I was taught. I don't care. Yeah, right. You know, and I say, oh my goodness, how insensitive. No, I'm not trying to say that to attack anybody. I wasn't taught that either. I wasn't just not taught that. I was taught the opposite. I was taught that talking, you know, speaking in tongues was of the devil. It wasn't my parents that taught me that, but just the denomination, you know, that we were part of, grew up. You know, that was the talk. Everyone said that. The pastor said that. So everyone just said that. No one ever studied it. You know, no one ever, you know, taught a verse on it. They just said it. Well, they said it. Therefore, we should just believe it. No, don't ever believe me because I'm just standing in front of a pulpit. Believe this. Believe the word. Jesus said they'll speak with new tongues. Yeah, well, obviously it couldn't be just Spanish or German or Chinese or Portuguese because those languages weren't new.
No, that's right.
They had to be supernatural languages. Yeah, the word new there actually means language that has never been spoken before.
Good.
That's the way you would write that verse in the original Greek. All right, so this is a supernatural gospel. Look at verse 18. It says, they shall take up serpents. Okay, so oh my goodness, now here we're supposed to handle snakes. Well, I know maybe some of our brothers and sisters in Appalachia, you know, might get to, you know, do that a little bit, break out the banjo and dance around with some snakes in their hands or whatever. Well, the word serpents there, it's not talking about the little critters that are crawling around the woods. It's a representation to demons, you know, demonic personalities. Remember in the book of Acts when Paul the apostle was bitten literally by a viper, you know, literally a snake, you know, had attached himself, a very poisonous snake, and all the tribes people, they all stood there and they watched, they waited for him to keel over and die. They said, ooh, he just got bit by one of those. Let's watch him keel over. It's talking about supernatural protection. It could be talking about authority over demonic personalities. All right, it says, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So go ahead and eat that Big Mac with confidence. No, I haven't done that for a while. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But in those days when this was written, Christians were being poisoned all over the place. Persecutors were trying to poison Christians and were putting things in their food and their water. And Jesus said, well, their attempts to end your life prematurely won't work.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus said, I'm going to spoil the devil's attempt to take you out early. Glory to God. And it says, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick, they shall recover. Amen. Whose hands are being laid on the sick? Our hands. Where is healing at right now? It's in your hands. So many times we look at healing as something that we demand. Have you realized that God said your hands are a supply?
Very good.
So many times, you know, healing is going to, you know, be active in your life when you understand that you're a supply of healing, not just the one in need of it. We have what the world needs. Hence why it's said that that healing is a dinner bell to the gospel. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Wow, so this is a casting out demons gospel. It's a supernatural protection gospel. It's a speaking new tongues gospel. And it's a healing gospel. Glory to God. All right? Amen. The first step, of course, is believing. So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll tread upon serpents. right? In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. All of these things are executed by the name of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you do not actively use the name of Jesus, I am telling you, the devil's going to eat your lunch. It's the name that causes him to tremble, right? The Bible even tells us that in James 2:19, that the demons know that there is one God and they tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, so many times Christians, you know, like I say, they get into a cultural Christianity and they start to feel that it's weird for a believer to actually lay hands on the sick or to use the name of Jesus in their home. They start to feel like that's fanatical or strange. No, it's strange not to. It's strange not to. This gospel is built upon that name, and this gospel will not flourish until believers know how and when to use that name. Listen, symptoms trying to get on you or your family in the name of Jesus, I refuse these symptoms to go any further. You are trespassing against the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get off this body now in Jesus' name. There's going to be a boldness that is absolutely required in this gospel. Well, we don't preach this much anymore. We don't read Mark 16 because, you know, we really aren't a demon casting out church. We're really just trying to relate to a younger generation. Listen, I'll tell you what, this younger generation is hungry for God. And they have to have an opportunity to get to know God's power. Amen. You say, well, we got to learn from the younger generation. No, 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 you don't. You need, the younger generation should be learning from you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Go down just two verses to verse 20. And it says that these believers, they went forth and they obeyed. It says in verse 20, they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. There's those signs again. Notice they went out, they did what the Lord said. They preached the healing gospel. They preached the demon casting out gospel. They preached the tongue talking gospel. They preached, you know, divine protection. They preached, and when they preached what the Lord wanted them to preach, he showed up with signs following. Amen. You know, I'll tell you what, if what we preach around here doesn't produce signs and wonders, shame on me. Right? Yeah, absolutely. If it doesn't produce signs and wonders, then we're not preaching the right thing. Because the Word of God tells us it'll produce signs and wonders. If no one's getting healed in our church, you know what I mean? If no one's getting free in our church, no one's getting, most importantly, if no one's getting saved in our church, then we would have a big time problem. And the moment those things start to die in a church, that church is dead. It can happen. Yeah, any church that will not preach this gospel is going to have a dead church. You can spruce it up with all the graphics in the world. You can spruce it up with every color light in your light system. You can add strobes all you want. You can add three more guitar players all you want. It's not going to bring the power back until you preach the gospel that Jesus said to preach. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go with me. This was the verse that started to talk to me. Go over to Acts chapter 3. This account just started playing on the inside as I was coming up to minister. And so that's my cue. When the Spirit of God starts to literally play these verses, I just start hearing it as it's written in the Bible. Just hearing it on the inside, that is my cue to get over there and preach. You can start right there in verse 1. Here is a healing miracle, a miracle of healing. The Bible later calls it in chapter 4. But it says this in Acts 3, 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. for you and I. And I ministered on these scriptures somewhat recently. And he says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. All right, that's literally the name of this entrance. It's called the Beautiful Gate, or the gate called Beautiful. And he was set there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so this man is a beggar. And he has never walked in his life. He was born lame. All right, that word meaning without the ability to walk or to stand. In verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked alms. Meaning, so he saw John and Peter and he asked them for money just like he was doing with everybody. But I just want to say this. Notice, you know that a miracle is about to happen and it's not a coincidence that they're on their way to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You know, they're on their way to meet with God. You know, they're putting God first. And miracles are going to start happening around these individuals. And you're going to see that it has nothing to do with the fact that Peter was an apostle or that John was an apostle. Watch this. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee." Peter's saying, "I don't have any money on me right now." Has that ever happened to you? You know, I've been in that situation. You walk, you know, maybe you're in a bigger city or something, and someone's begging on the sidewalk or something, and you just don't have any, you know, cash on you or whatever. That's what's going on. And Peter said, "I don't have any money on me today. I don't have any silver and gold, but that doesn't mean that I'm empty." He said, "That doesn't mean I don't have something to give." Oh, come on. Notice this. Money is never the answer to your problems. Money does not solve anything. All right? Just so you know that. God wants to make sure you have plenty of it, but that doesn't mean it solves problems. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, that's a different sermon for a different day. All right? He says, "But such as I have, I give thee." Look at the next few words. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Yeah. What is Peter saying? He said, "Money isn't going to solve your problem right now, but what I have will." Yeah. Amen. What was Peter saying? He's like, "I don't have money, but I do have the name of Jesus."
Yes.
Oh, come on. Notice you possess the name just like you would possess money in your pocket. It is with you at any given time. It belongs to you as much as your shoes on your feet belong to you. It's yours to use, and it's with you at every given moment, and it's yours to use, and it's yours to give. It's yours to give. Oh, come on now. You know, it's something that you possess. It's something that God has given to you. He's given to you this name, the name of Jesus. For you to use, for you to give. Have you used it lately? Have you given it lately? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And of course, if there's anyone in need here today, we'll give you the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord. We're not going to be handing out dollar bills up here at the altar, but we will be handing out the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's ours to give.
Yes.
It's ours to have. It's ours to give. Praise the Lord. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'll tell you what, where the ability of money runs out, the name gets it done. What are you going to do when you face a situation in this life that money cannot bail you out of it? The name of Jesus. Yeah, praise the Lord. The name of Jesus. You know, and I'm not going to try to get into, you know, a theological debate or anything, but notice all throughout the Bible, Jesus said, "In my name, in my name, in my name." John and Peter, "In the name, in the name, in the name." They didn't stop. They didn't work up some poetic prayer. You know what I mean? They didn't quote 15 verses to show off their Bible knowledge. You know what I mean? And you'll notice also, they didn't plead the blood. I'm not trying to go headhunting after anybody or anything. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in pleading the blood. You don't see it anywhere in the New Testament. Never is it used. Not once. "Pastor, you're treading on my sacred cow. I plead the blood all the time." Well, the apostles never did. Paul never did. They always used the name. Why invest in something you might not know is detailed in the word. Use what you do know. And of course, you know the name is backed by the blood. That's why the name, just go right for the name. Use the name of Jesus. Over and over, the name is where the power is at. You know, it's not in your poetic prayer. It's not because you shouted it louder than someone next to you. Amen. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7. And of course, you know what's going to happen here, don't you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And he says, and he took him. Now, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Peter was so confident in the name of Jesus, he came. Right? He grabbed that man. Right? And he started to lift him right off the ground. Now, don't you do that unless you have the unction of God. You know, you obviously have to, you know, you better know what you're doing. You better be, you know, led by the Spirit because this man obviously, you know, had faith to be healed and a whole bunch of different things. However, you know, Peter really got bold. He went up and just grabbed this man, lifted him right off the ground. And it says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In the name, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know? And of course, in verse 8, it says, he leaping up, stood, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. There's the key right there. There's a testimony right there. Yeah. It says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They all knew that it was that lame beggar that had never walked before. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. You mean signs? You mean wonders? In my name, the sick shall recover? Praise the Lord. Look at this gospel. Yeah. Look at this miracle-working gospel. Wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Praise the Lord. And verse 11 says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, the Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. Notice people all ran and they came together. Why? The dinner bell was ringing. See how healing gathered the masses? It gathered the masses. It called people together. Why? They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you have a testimony of healing, you need to share it. You need to share it. You need to tell somebody. Listen, it's been amazing. This last, week, 2 weeks, I've been getting several emails. People not that didn't even ask or request for it, but people that were emailing me or the church sharing their testimony of healing. Just got one this morning, got one yesterday, got one earlier this week, talked to several people, many of you which are here today, of, just wonderful healing testimonies. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, I'll tell you what, this is a miracle-working gospel. Praise the Lord. And now, look at this. After they all gathered together, it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. Now he's going to get to preach to them. Because healing drew them together. Listen, I'll tell you what, whenever you try to use man-made methods to draw a crowd, it's going to fail. But when you use God's power to draw a crowd, it's going to work. Peter saw it. He answered the people. He said, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Wow. Verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Boy, that fits right in what we've been preaching. Peter starts saying, this covenant God, this God that is faithful to Abraham, who's also faithful to us. He started reminding them of their covenant. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, look what Peter says. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Remember that? Barsabbas? Remember they let the murderer go and they decided to crucify Jesus? Verse 15. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Next verse. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness or healing in the presence of you all. Peter said, you wonder how this happened? He said, in the name of Jesus and by faith in that name, that man who had never walked before got up and walked. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, that's a fantastic testimony, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Don't you think that God wants to show himself? Don't you think the same God that did this is the same God that is alive today? Amen. Don't you think the same God that performed, you know, that did that in that service, don't you think he wants to do the same thing in this service? Yeah. You know, sometimes people, they approach the Bible as, you know, just a history book or, you know, just, you know, this older lesson, and we look back at what happened. No, we're supposed to see what happened, and we're supposed to believe God for it to happen now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, there's just been, you know, some wonderful, wonderful testimonies. Alicia, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. You just shared a testimony with me yesterday, or maybe, you know, I don't know if I got it this morning or I read it yesterday, but you had sent me an email of something that just happened last Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, we didn't have service, but we had a healing service a week ago last Wednesday, and you sent me a message of what God did for you. Would you mind sharing that? She's getting called on completely on the spot. Alicia and Joe are the Evans, you know, this wonderful family that serve our family, the church family, so well, and just are such a blessing. Alicia, would you mind sharing that? Yeah, we can welcome Alicia, yeah. Uh-oh, who's going to be next? Alicia, just go ahead and tell me what you kind of shared there in the email.
So, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, for almost 3 weeks prior to that, my right knee, I can't really explain it, other than it would just feel like a stick. Like I couldn't bend, like no movement. Obviously, right now I'm moving it.
Yeah, right.
But I couldn't, I mean, sometimes I would walk and I would just like get stuck. And that night, right before service, that was probably the worst day that it was bothering me. Mm-hmm. And I was walking down the stairs to get ready to come, and I got stuck in the middle of my stairs. Mm. I tried to, you know, bend a little bit to try to get down, but physically I couldn't bend.
Wow.
And it was just a lot of pain to the point where I would like cry, and I called Aubrey. I'm like, Aubrey, can you help me? And I was stuck probably for 2 to 3 minutes, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get off these stairs.
Yeah.
It was, I just can't explain it. So I was able to somehow come down the stairs. I came to church, and while Pastor Tim was preaching, he was just saying, you know, stay in your seat, you know, remind him of the things you did, claim that you're a child of God, and I just started doing that. And all of a sudden, even before he called us up, my leg, the whole thing seemed like it was on fire. Mm. And I was looking, I'm like, why isn't there a physical fire? Because it was so hot. Mm. And it didn't hurt, though.
Yeah.
Like, I can't explain it, but it just felt like it was on fire, but it didn't hurt, like I was touching fire. And I actually stood up, and I walked out, and I could walk.
Yeah,
and amen. I wanted to come, and I haven't had any pain or anything since.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alicia. Praise God. Yeah, glorify God. You know, and I've received, when I say I, you understand, the glory is always God's. Listen, it could be somebody that had one of you lay hands on them. It doesn't have to come through the pastor. We're just testifying, listen, of God's word, God's power. Praise the Lord. My goodness. I mean, just several testimonies. I received one. I don't see Sharon here today. Sharon Darling had approached me, a dear member of our church, and Sharon, I'm sorry, I'm looking right past you. I'm sorry, you were hiding in between. Sharon, can you share with me about your, with all of us, about your grandson? You people are getting called on the spot here today. Be ready. Where's the microphone coming at? Sharon, you come on up forward. You share. I'm sorry, I was looking right past you. You're right there, perfectly behind Brigetta. Now, Sharon. Now, before we talk about Max, your grandson, you know, I remember a few years ago, I was contacted by hospice regarding you. Is that correct? You were facing, you know, pretty...
Well, they thought I was going to
Right. Yeah, they thought you were going to die. I was contacted by hospice. Say, yeah, I don't know if you ever knew that, but I was. And yeah, it was, yeah, how many years ago was that? 4 or 5 years ago?
Well,
more?
It's not manifested to the doctors or anybody that cancer and stuff is gone, but it is.
That's right. Amen. And but they had contacted me and they said, oh, you know, we just need to make, you know, Sharon comfortable. She's not going to make it past, you know, the months or whatever. And how many years ago was that?
2011.
So that's 6 years ago. Amen. Glory to God. That wasn't the testimony, but Sharon, could you tell the people, you had come up to me a few weeks ago and you had talked about your grandson, Max. Of course, he's been here a lot.
He's 8 now.
He's 8 years old now. And can you tell the story about how his legs...
Yeah,
go ahead and share that with us.
Max's...
Go ahead, put that right up close.
Max's legs when he was younger were... He was really bow-legged to where if his feet were on the ground, if you drew a line, the angle of his leg would be this way. And he also had something wrong with his foot that made him fall a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to... some children's hospital or mm-hmm. something. I can't remember what the name of it was. But anyways, they took x-rays and they said that he didn't have any kind of bone disease or anything, but he was really badly bow-legged. And I asked my daughter, I said, are they going to put braces on his legs to straighten them out? And she said they, I guess in the future, they were thinking of doing that. And Pastor Tim prayed for him. And gradually, his legs straightened up. They're straight as can be. They're not.
Amen.
They're
glory
really
to God.
Straight, and it didn't take long. It wasn't something that took a year or nothing.
Yeah.
And his grandfather said, "It looks like his legs are straightening out." And I said, "That's God. God did that."
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, thank you, Sharon. I'm sorry I couldn't see over there. Yeah. And praise the Lord, you know, it's so exciting. And you had something, you just approached me, I'm sorry, here you are being put on the spot. Everyone's like, oh no, my number is going to be called. Is that something you could testify? Ann, come on up forward. You approached me, within the last couple weeks of something that happened with you and a service. Was that like a year ago? Was that, you had said that you were called out in a service. Here, we'll hear you. You tell us.
evidently, I was having petit mal type seizures, and I didn't realize that for a while. I wasn't losing consciousness, and I didn't know what that was. But then in October of 2015, I had a really bad car accident. It was my fault, but I have no memory of it at all. And that was October 30th of 2015. January 7th of 2016, I had a grand mal seizure, a really bad seizure. In fact, it was so bad that I fractured bones in my back during that seizure. And I was unconscious. In fact, Pastor came.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be meeting Pastor Katie for lunch. I was on my way there when I had that horrible seizure. And I was unconscious, and I woke up to Pastor and Bill holding each hand praying for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I believe that if they hadn't been praying for me, I might not have come out of that coma, that seizure. So that was in January. I think it was around, and I'll tell you, I'm a nurse, I'm an RN, and for me to have a seizure disorder was about the worst thing that could happen.
Sure.
In fact, at one point, I was in so much pain, and I was so distraught that I said, Lord, I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, no, it's not your time.
That's right.
I have things for you to do.
Yeah, praise
God. And he
God.
Gave me hope.
Yes.
Well, then, I couldn't tolerate the medications. They made me very dizzy and very mentally emotional, And I had a real hard time. They had to try several things. And finally, I believe it was a Wednesday night. I don't know if it was February or March, but you called me up in the middle of the service. You said, Ann, come up here.
It was
and
a
you
Wednesday
said,
night?
And you
night?
Said, no more. And you said other things. But I have not had one seizure.
Yeah.
Not Not a petty mal seizure, nothing.
Amen.
Since then, and I know it was Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Ann.
And my back is healed too.
Well, back is healed too, yeah. I barely recall that. You know, Ann said that it was a Wednesday night, and was it during the preaching, Ann, or was it just during prayer time after, or we were just praising? And
I think it was after the preaching, maybe.
Okay. Bill's giving me the nod. He's like, yes, yes. You know, and also, and sometimes, you know, when the Spirit of God comes on you, you don't naturally recall everything, you know, but I do remember the Spirit of God coming on me, and I'll just all of a sudden just, Ann, you know, come on up here. And she came up, and of course, she told me what you know, was said and what was spoken, and the Spirit of God was saying, no more, you know, and of course, she knew that to be, you know, no more seizures, and so that's been over a year and a half. Since then, glory to God, and they've all stopped. Amen. And I would dare say, I don't recall exactly how everything transpired. I would dare say somewhere in there, the name of Jesus was probably spoken. Right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we say these things. You know, because if there's one thing that I have fallen short in, which there, you know, perhaps more than one, I'm not saying the only, I'm saying, but I have, you know, failed to sometimes share the testimonies that come out of these services and what God is doing, you know, in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who sent me? Someone sent me an email this morning. Was it Gina? Is Gina here? Did I see Gina? Where's Gina at? I don't know. Gina Prentice. Is here. Oh, Gina, would you like to share? Do you want me to? If you prefer, I'd be happy to share it with everybody. Would you prefer that? I mean, I don't ever want to make somebody come up and share because I understand all of a sudden, you know, I'm used to being in front of everybody, you know. It never really makes me all that comfortable, but, you know, sometimes people getting called on the spot, I certainly can imagine that it could be a little unnerving. But, Gina, you just sent me an email this morning, right? And it was wonderful. Not long after I had gotten up, all of a sudden I get an email from Gina Prentice. Her and her husband, Lewis, and their boys have been in our church for many, many years. And she started describing the extreme headaches that you started, just debilitating, heavy-duty headaches that started, you know, to come upon her, and to the point where you got a CAT scan, a CT scan, and an MRI, and nothing, you know, showed up in those tests, but the headaches were still persisting to the behind both of your eyes, and it started to blur your vision, and it started to hurt your vision, and things like that. And recently, of course, you know that we've been talking about being sons and daughters of Abraham, of having being a covenant child of God. And make sure that I have this right. But Gina had mentioned that, right? Was it right in service, or was it just as you went throughout your day, you were just confessing that healing is a covenant belonging of mine? Healing belongs to me. She said, I won't be denied, you know, and just started claiming that, you know, every day. And then the headaches broke. Is that, okay, in your vision was corrected? Thursday when she was driving, all of a sudden you can realize I can see. Huh? That is a blessing. That is a blessing, not just to Gina and to the family, but for all of us. Glory to God. Amen. You know, and notice in that case, you know, see how all of these cases are different? I mean, here the Spirit of God called Anne right out of her seat. Then with Sharon and Max, you know, her grandson, after we dismissed, I believe it was just after a dismissal of a Sunday morning service, you and Max just came up to the front after, you know, everyone was just leaving. It wasn't a big grand deal. You know, it was just after dismissal of a church service. There in, you know, Gina's case, here we have someone just acting on the Word of God. Acting on the Word. I am a covenant. I am a child of God. I am, you know, a son or daughter of Abraham. Healing belongs to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Started just acting on her covenant, and healing arrived, right? See all the different ways that God can minister healing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm sure this morning, folks, that I'm leaving, you know, people out. If you have a testimony like that, send it to the office, you know, send it to me personally. Please know and understand, these are not testimonies for the church. They are not testimonies, you know, first and foremost for the pastor. You know what I mean? They are testimonies for what God's word does. And praise the Lord, it's happening in our midst. You know what I mean? Happening in our midst. And so if you have a testimony, I'm by no means trying to ignore anybody or leave somebody out. There's many testimonies throughout the years. You know, and sometimes I have failed to have folks share them because, you know, I want to get preaching the word and all of a sudden I don't get in the testimony track, but we need to hear it. Yeah. Amen. And here the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he will do for all. Why? Peter said, in that name and by faith in that name, that man has received this strength. Jesus said, in my name you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Every church should be an absolute gathering place of God's power to heal. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, remember, you're not just a demand, you're a supply. Healing is in your hands. Healing is in the gospel. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, how about we gather a crowd around the power of God? Like I said, I'll make a pledge to you, and this church will make a pledge to you. We will not entertain you. You know what I mean? We will be dedicated on preaching God's word and letting God move in our midst. Praise the Lord. And so what do you say we let his name work in our midst here this morning? You know, praise the Lord. So why don't we go ahead? If you're here today and if there's something in your body that you would like to see healed or removed or a condition restored, a body part, an injury, whatever it is, why don't we just go ahead and use the name of Jesus on that thing? Glory to God. If you have something in your body and you know, if you've been told, whether it's something that you just know personally or whether you have a doctor has told you or whatever, thank God for good doctors. But if you want the name of Jesus to take care of that thing, right now, with all eyes opened, with no heads bowed, go ahead. Just go ahead and stand up right where you are and come down front. We would love to minister to you. Praise the Lord. If that's you, now's a good time. Yeah, we have several that are coming. God is good. The Bible says that he works with us, confirming his word with signs following. We do the preaching. He does the manifesting, right? We preach. He confirms it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, come up within a couple feet of the altar here. Let's just praise God. Let's just worship God. Father, we just praise you this morning. Father, we glorify you. We thank you in that mighty and matchless name of Jesus. You know, folks, the invitation is given now. So many times, you know, people will say, well, Pastor, I just want to, you know, I didn't want to come up forward, but I'd rather just, you know, talk to you privately. You know, I'm always there to meet with people privately. I have no problem with that at all. But I'll tell you, when this is a corporate setting, you know, you can't duplicate the corporate anointing anywhere else. Amen. And so the altar's open. If there's something that you want to be dealt with, come forward now. Everyone up front here, just worship God with me. Actually, everyone in the sound of my voice, let's just worship him. Let's just worship him. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that glorify the Lord. Father, that you be lifted up. Father, whether people receive it as they sit and hear the word, as they claim the healing on their faith, or as hands are laid upon them, Father, we thank you that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you. This is a gospel of healing. And we just give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Glory to God.
something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 yeah. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, when I call you. Something happens when I call you, when I call you, when I call you. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens. something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name, Jesus. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name. I believe you're my healer. I believe you
more than enough for me.
for me. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're my healer. Yes, you are.
Thank you. healing flowing over me. Thank you.
Let's go ahead. Let's just praise him. Let's worship him. Let's just worship him. Father, we praise you. We thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies out of this service. When you say the name of Jesus. And today, you know, I was led to get very specific with everybody to make sure that we deal with those specific symptoms or conditions or whatever. How many of you know that the name of Jesus is greater than any name of sickness, illness, or disease? Glory to God. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Father, we thank you.